Out of Zion's hills, salvation comes. Out of Zion's hills, salvation comes for a man named Lazarus in our scripture reading from the Gospel of John. In our scripture reading from the Gospel of John, there was this man named Lazarus, and he was ill. Lazarus was from Bethany, where he lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha. The scripture tells us that Mary is the one who anointed Jesus' feet and then wiped them with her hair. They sent a message on to Jesus saying, "Jesus, the one that you love is ill." They wanted him to come quick. But Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. Jesus said to his disciples and who were there, "This does not lead to death, but this leads to the glory of God. And the Son of God will be glorified through it." So for two more days, he stayed in Judea. Or he stayed where he was. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea." And his disciples were, "Well, Jesus, they want to stone you there. Why are we going to go to Judea? Why don't we stay right where we are?" Jesus responded to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. We need to go so I can awaken him." And the friends, the disciples, were like, "Well, if he's just asleep, he'll be fine, Jesus." They didn't quite understand that Jesus was talking about him being dead. He told them that Lazarus is dead, and now we must go there. So that you will believe, is what Jesus said, so that you will believe in me. So we are going to go to Lazarus. Thomas, the one who gets a bad rap most of the time, is the first one to speak up and say, "Let us go with Jesus and let us go to die with him." So 4 days, there were lots of people there consoling Mary and Martha. Lots of people from Jerusalem, because it was only 2 miles away. When they got there, Martha went running to Jesus and knelt. Well, she didn't kneel at his feet. Mary did. But when she got to Jesus, she said, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know whatever you ask God to do, it will be done." And Jesus said, "Martha, your brother will rise again. Do you believe me?" And Martha said, "Well, yes, Jesus, I believe you on the last day of the resurrection. He will rise again." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who live and believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And those who live and believe in me will never die." As he finished saying this, He said to Mary, "Do you believe this?" He said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And Martha said, "Yes, I do. I believe you are the Messiah, the one that God has sent into the world. I believe you." She summoned Mary. "The teacher is calling after you, calling for you. Come, Mary, come quick." So Mary went quickly, of course. She ran to Jesus, and all who were with her saw her. And they assumed that she was going to the tomb to weep some more. So they followed her. When she got to Jesus, she knelt at his feet, and she too said, "Jesus, if you were here, my brother would have never have died." And she wept. Jesus was greatly disturbed in his spirit, deeply moved, and asked them, "Where did you lay him?" "Lord, come see." And at that, Jesus wept. And the onlookers were like, "Wow, look at this man who weeps. This man who gave recovery of sight to the blind. Surely he could have saved Lazarus if he was here." Greatly disturbed, Jesus said, "Remove the stone." But Martha said, "It's been 4 days, Lord. It's been 4 days that Lazarus has been dead and the stench is bad." Do you believe? Do you believe, Jesus asked, do you believe that you will see the glory of God? And they took away the stone. When they took away the stone, Jesus said in a very loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And something that not one of them probably expected to happen happened. The dead man came walking out of the tomb. And as he came walking out of the tomb, he was bound still by the burial cloths that were around his arms and around his feet, and the burial cloud, that shroud that was over his eyes and his face. And Jesus said to all the crowd and the onlookers, "Unbind him and let him go." And at that, many were there believed in Jesus. This is the living word of God. We have some stories this morning about dead ends. About dead ends in the world, dead ends in our lives, dead ends in the scripture. Has your GPS ever led you down a pathway that is a dead end? Yes. I was driving with my mother-in-law and my daughter, who was 16, and we were in Rhode Island. I knew it would be the last time my mother-in-law would probably go to her childhood hometown. My in-laws weren't traveling that much anymore, so we went for Michaela's 16th birthday, and my mother-in-law wanted to see her childhood home one last time. I plugged it into the GPS, the address, which she thinks was it. She thinks. So I plugged it in. I'm following the GPS. I'm going where it's supposed to go. And you know, my 16-year-old's in the back. Are we almost there? I'm really hungry. When's lunch? My mother-in-law is sitting next to me. I'm driving her car. And my mother-in-law is telling me, "No, I think you should turn here. Don't listen to GPS. Turn there. I think this might be the street." "Oh, no, no, never mind. It's not the street." So I'm trying to get to a destination that I have never, ever been to before, and I drive down what's now a dead end. The GPS leads me down this dead end, and you know, once you get down to the end of a dead end, you have to turn around. So I pull into this driveway, which, first of all, is embarrassing, isn't it? When you drive into somebody else's driveway to turn around on the dead end. So as I'm pulling into the driveway on this dead end, my mother-in-law yells, "Stop!" I'm like, "I'm in somebody's driveway. I don't want to stop." She said, "This is it. This is the house. This is my childhood house. We are on the right street." So now I don't know what to do, because I'm also noticing that in the backyard there's the family having a barbecue. And now they notice me, and they come out to greet us. And my mother-in-law was able to go into her childhood home one last time. It was a great day. It was a beautiful day. I didn't expect that dead end would end so well. I did not expect we would ever find my mother-in-law's childhood home, let alone come across it when I drove down this dead end, and lo and behold, the family was so gracious to welcome her in and let her walk through her childhood home. The scriptures this morning talk about dead ends. We have the story of Ezekiel. We have the story of Ezekiel and this, what appeared to be a dead end. I mean, the man is standing there over a valley of dry bones. There's a valley of dry bones, and God says to Ezekiel, "You know, just start prophesying, speaking to these dry bones, and they're going to live. I'm going to put some life back into these bones, just like I'm going to put some life back into the nation of Israel that believes that they are cut off and dead and lost to me. And I'm going to bring back life to them." Do you imagine being Ezekiel? Standing amid the valley? Or how many times do we feel like we are the valley of dry bones? Just waiting, just longing for the breath of life to come into us and give us new energy, new life, new beginnings, new possibilities out of what appeared to be a dead end. And then we have Lazarus and his friends. Surely his friends had no idea the folks, the onlookers, everyone who had come to help console Mary and Martha and all their casseroles that probably filled the kitchen that day. There they all were consoling them. And out of that tomb, that dead end that seemed sealed off and closed and done forever, there is resurrection power and resurrection hope in the midst of this dead end, in the midst of what appeared to be cut off, lost, and completely done. How many times are we faced with dead ends? How many times do we imagine that experiences in our lives are at a dead end, or at a moment it's closed off, cut off from the rest of the world, and there's no possibility, potential, or hope for life? Could it be in some relationships that we've had? I have a relationship with someone that I've lost touch with over the last 10 years. For me, it feels like a dead end, but today, as I stand before you proclaiming resurrection, hope, and power for your life, I need to embrace it for mine. So I intend to write my friend a letter. Sometimes it's where we work, it feels like a dead end. Sometimes there are situations in our lives that feel like dead ends. Sometimes it is emotionally or spiritually or physically, it feels like we are cut off. But we are people of resurrection hope and resurrection promise. We have this God who not only calls us out of the tombs, but invites us to participate in God's redemptive and resurrection power by unbinding others and helping set them free. So two questions remain. Where in your life is there dead ends that you need spiritual renewal? You need God to call you out of the darkness so that you can indeed walk in the light of God. And where in the world, literally, is God calling you to help unbind someone else and set them free? As you come to this table of grace and of mercy, may you remember that we leave our claws, our grave claws here. And Jesus intends to set us free by the resurrection power. Amen.